Hey everybody, it's Allie Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries. Welcome to our podcast today. Today we're going to be talking about the courage to love again after you've been hurt. Now, women need to love and they need to be loved. And when you've been hurt, fear can take over and you might find it hard to step back into community. At least that's what happened to me. I was really hurt inside of a church community, and that created fear in my life, fear that made me want to just stay on the sidelines and keep my heart safe. I wonder if you can relate. Well, I did keep my heart safe because I sort of hid away for a while, but here's what I found, that hiding my heart didn't heal it, but stepping back into community one baby step at a time did. And so I want you to listen up today. If you've walked through a bad friendship or relationship and you just say to yourself, I'm just never going to love again, today's podcast is just for you. And if you've never been in that situation before, well, today's podcast is for you today too, because the reality is that to love means that our hearts are going to get broken. And when our hearts break, we have a choice to make. Are we going to walk through it with God's way, or are we going to walk away and hide? Well, when we walk away and hide, we can't love. And when we can't love, while our hearts might be safe, we'll be miserable. Because you see, you and I are created and wired to love. How many of you have seen that movie, Soul Surfer, with Bethany Hamilton? I loved that movie. And I was always so impressed with her courage to get back in the water again after she was attacked by a shark. Now, if you haven't seen the movie, the story is that Bethany Hamilton, who is a young surfer, just, you know, like surfed in competition, was going out one day to surf. And when she was surfing, a shark came up and bit off her arm. And although she lost 60% of her blood, thankfully she did not die, but she did lose her arm. And for a while, you know, she was battling this fear, but she knew she had to get back into the water. And listen to what she said. This is a quote from her. When I first returned to surfing, I was very afraid of sharks, said Hamilton. The attack that happened to me was such a rare occurrence, but I still thought about it. So to fight that fear, I would just get into the water and focus on catching the waves. I refused to dwell in the what ifs. And when I read that quote, I loved it because it reminded me that oftentimes, if I want to fight fear, I need to change my focus. But that often, like Bethany Hamilton, you know, kept thinking about what had happened to her, and those thoughts from her past were creating this fear in her life, that it wasn't until she changed her focus that she found that courage to get back in the water again and get back up on the board again and surf. And you see, Bethany could have stayed on the shore. And she certainly would have been completely safe from sharks because sharks are not on the shore. But Bethany also would have been miserable. And she would not have been walking out her God-given purpose. Now you know that Bethany travels around the world and she shares her story. And when she does, she brings glory to God. But Bethany had to make that choice. And just like Bethany was wired to surf and would have been miserable if she stayed safe, but miserable if she stayed on the shore, you and I are wired to walk in love. We are no longer, as Christians, called to walk a life and follow fear. We are called, as children of God, to walk in love. In fact, every human being is wired to walk in love. Fear is the opposite of love. And when we're afraid of getting hurt, that's when we end up, well, hurting other people inside of relationships. But that's not how we're wired. We are wired to love. Psychologists call this a sense of belonging. And it's such a need inside of our souls that it's as important as the need for water and the need for food. And while every human being is wired to love and to be love, Christians are wired for crazy love. They're wired for crazy love. Now, in the book of Acts, we see this crazy love with the very first Christians. In Acts 2:42, it talked about this group of believers. It says this in Acts 2:42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many signs and wonders. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property, possessions, and shared money with those in need. And I'm like, wow, that is some crazy love. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now that is some crazy love. Crazy love inside of this small community. And, you know, the Bible tells us that not only are we wired for love, but Christians are wired for this crazy love. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. That's why Ephesians 5:1 says, imitate God in everything you do because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. And not only that, but John 13:35 says this, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. In other words, God was saying it's not going to be a program. It's not going to be you proving everybody wrong. It's going to be when the world looks in and sees this kind of crazy love. I will never forget my dad calling me and telling me the story about his second cousin who decided, my dad's second cousin is retired, but he is a strong Christian. And he decided to, there was a young man in his church that was confined to a wheelchair. And he took it upon himself to take that person, that young man around, to all of his college classes, help him with his schoolwork, and did this for him for 4 years until he graduated. And that, to me, is just crazy love. And that's the love that we see that's reflected in that very first chapter in Acts. And it's the love that you and I are wired for because of the Holy Spirit. Now, just because we're wired for this, even though we're wired for this crazy love, we don't live this way. I mean, if I look in at small groups that I've been a part of, they've been loving. They've been wonderful, but have they been this deep in crazy love? No. And if I'm honest, I would say that, well, there's a part of me that contributes to that problem. Because the reason why we don't live this way is because of the what-if waves. You know, the what-ifs that are created from maybe a possible Bethany had a shark attack, right? The surfer, we might have a people attack. We walk through a very hurtful relationship, a very hurtful experience, and it's painful. And the reason why it's so painful is because of that need that we have to be loved. Rejection is hard. like living without food and water. It's hard. That's what psychologists say. And so we say to ourselves, gosh, I don't want that to happen again. And so the reality is that when people sin against us, it hurts. It hurts our hearts. And there's no greater hurt than a broken heart. And when we walk through rejection, especially if we haven't had, if we didn't grow up in this very loving, accepting family, that sting of rejection can really wound us deep. And we can resolve that we don't want that to happen again. We don't want to hurt people, but we don't want it to happen again. And so we just stay out of the water, so to speak, so that we won't run into any sharks. Now, imagine if Bethany had sat on the sand instead of getting in back in the water to surf. She certainly would have been safe because she would have been away from the sharks, but she also would have been miserable. And the same is true for you and I. And sometimes we sit so long on the sand, longing to get back in, that it's almost like we have forgotten how to surf and how to swim, or we just feel so inadequate and we don't know what to do. And so we sit on the sidelines and we look in, and then maybe even to justify our actions, we might start blaming other people. Well, say, like, all those people are snobs, or nobody's called me, or nobody's done this, or nobody's done that. I was talking to someone, and I love this person dearly, but over and over again, I hear him saying he goes to one church, and he attends for a while, and then he'll stop going. And then he'll start going to another church, and it's the same thing. He's always blaming the people that are there, saying that they didn't reach out to him. And the reality is that our environment is created by our choices. Our environment is created by our choices. The choices we make will create our environment. And if we're not being proactive, then maybe it is that we're not experiencing the love that we want because we have this fear inside of us of getting back into the game. And I completely understand that. And just like if Bethany had made a decision that she was not going to get back into the water, well, nobody would really blame her, right? And if you're listening today, I bet you've walked through some horrific relationship experience that is creating this fear for you to put yourself out there again. And I certainly don't blame you. But because I'm crazy in love with my Treasured Ministries family, I'm also going to share the truth with you. And the truth is that you were wired to love. You were not wired to sit out in fear. You were wired to get back in the game. And it is completely normal for us to pull away and isolate ourselves after we've been hurt. And it may not even be that you don't get around people. You might be going to tons of parties and gatherings, but you know deep down in your heart, you never ever really allow people to see the real you. That's another form of hiding. And so we pull back and we hide and we think that's a solution, but it never heals us. You see, here's what I found, that community, that can be the place where we're hurt, but it's also the place that we can find healing. And I believe with everything in me that if Bethany hadn't have got back in the water and surfed again, maybe she would have been healed physically, but deep down in her soul, because she was created to ride those waves, right? She would have been miserable. And so we pull back inside of this isolation, and whether we're isolating ourselves by just not going anywhere or pulling out of a situation, or we're just not authentic with people, well, when we do that, we are playing into the enemy's schemes, because that's exactly what he wants. He wants us to feel isolated. He wants us to feel alone. He wants us to be lonely. He wants all those things in our life because, you see, when we isolate ourselves, it ruins us. Because fear and love can't operate in the same, you know, space. And it also ruins our witness. Like I said before, John 13:35 says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples." But while we're pulling back or pointing the fingers at others or holding on to bitterness or unforgiveness, then people can't look in and they can't see this kind of crazy love that's in the book of Acts. So what are we to do with all of this? Because the reality is, right, you know, there are still going to be sharks out there. And really, even people that are wonderful, healthy people to be friends with, well, they can hurt us sometimes unintentionally, but it can still hurt. So what's the solution for our heart? Well, just like the enemy's solution, you know, the enemy like holds out his hand and he says, "Why don't you take my hand and just hide away?" God has a solution. And God's solution is love. It's love. And a lot of times it doesn't seem fair and it doesn't seem right. But when you understand that this is what you're wired to do, that if you stay outside of the water, if you stay outside of loving, that you're going to be miserable, that can give you the courage and conviction to follow through. You see, what Jesus knew that the real evil was not the people, it was the enemy himself, and that evil is overcome in this world with love. Romans 12:12 says this, "Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good." And you see, when we love back after we've been hurt, we are essentially taking power away from the enemy, who Ephesians 6 tells us works through people and would love nothing more for our hearts to get broken and then for us to shut down our hearts. Because if he can shut down our hearts, he can shut down love. But you see, love is the most powerful force in the world. And when we love, we take power away from the enemy and we stand with the power of God. Now, how do we do this? Well, Bethany, in that quote, she said that she fought the fear by focusing on catching the waves and refusing to dwell on the what ifs. And before that, in that quote, she says, "I still thought about it," right? So that kind of happens to us, doesn't it? Like, we'll get inside of a relationship experience and maybe it's similar to what we had before, and we'll just start thinking about what happened in the past, right? And then the what ifs come, like, well, what if they make fun of me? What if this? What if that? And then we just reasoned then, and then instead of focusing on the right thing, then we get all bound up in fear. And then we don't share our hearts. But the solution is, just like Bethany focused on catching the wave, our solution is to focus on following Jesus's example. And when we focus on Jesus, just like when Jesus in Matthew 14 called Peter to get out of the boat and the waves were coming up. And so then when Peter got his eyes on the waves, then he started to sink. Jesus is saying, "I know you got hurt, but I want you to get back out again on the waves. And there's going to be waves. It's going to get rocky. But if you keep your eye on me and do it how I did it, I will be there for you." And it's important because I've called you to love. You're wired to love. And when we don't love, when we pull back in fear or bitterness or anger or unforgiveness, we're miserable. There's ramifications all over our lives. So let's look at Jesus's example. Now, Jesus left the protection of heaven to provide love for you and me. So the first thing that we see is, you know, Jesus was, he was the Son of God, right? But he got out among the people, and you can't love unless you get out among people. And so I want to challenge you just to start to look for opportunities this week for you to do that, and then to take a baby step and do it. That's a baby step you can take. The next thing is that when we step out, you know, we might be thinking, oh, I got involved in this unhealthy relationship before, da 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 da. But if our eyes are on Jesus, right, he is the one that can help us discern a healthy relationship from an unhealthy relationship. And we can choose who to become really close to. We want to love everybody, but those who we get really close to, as long as our eyes are on Jesus, we don't have to be afraid, right? The other thing is that, you know, Jesus, when we don't walk in love, we start to fear, and we start to fear people. And when we fear people, that's when we find it hard to say no to people, right? But Jesus still said no to people. He still said no to his disciples. He still said no to his friends. So sometimes, you know, if you read this passage in Acts where there's so much love going on, you think, were there any boundaries? I'm sure there were. I'm sure there were. Because biblically speaking, sometimes love says no. Right? And Jesus could say no to others because he did not fear man. And he made choices. His choices for loving others sometimes involved a no. Now, if my children came to me and said, can I eat 2 chocolate cakes? Well, I would tell them no. They told me, can I eat 1 whole chocolate cake? I would tell them no. Why? Because I love them. And so, when we are walking with Jesus, we can keep our eyes on him, and we can know when to say no. The next thing is that Jesus never received any shame imposed on him. He just remained steadfast in his central mission to love. Now think about that. The Bible says that when he was on the cross, he didn't retaliate. He didn't hurl insults back. He returned with blessing. And you think, God, that is, but really, really, it's about who is going to have control over your life, the person that offended you or God. And when you respond in love, you stand in his power. But oftentimes when we get hurt, and even inside of friendships, you know, people, we're just people, and people hurt people because people are hurting, and hurting people hurt people, right? But inside of friendships, people can hurt us, and maybe they didn't mean to, maybe all these sorts of things. And when that happens, there is a potential for us to get offended. And we have a choice. We can either, you know, when people hurt us and we, you know, there's a message it often sends into our life, you know, whether they didn't care about me or whatever. And we can either receive that message, or we can say, I'm not going to let that define me, right? And release that message and then walk in truth. And all the while, remain steadfast on loving others. In other words, when you show up, you say to yourself, I'm here to love. I'm here to give. I would love other people to, you know, approve of me and all those sorts of things, but I am here to love. The next thing that we see about Jesus is that he really kept his expectations in God alone. He really did. I think about the time that he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked Peter, James, and John to come and pray with them, and they ended up falling asleep. And And, you know, we'll ask people to do stuff for us and that kind of thing, and they won't come through because they're human. But Jesus had his expectations in God alone. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter that he entrusted himself to God, right? And so when we have we bring expectations into relationships, everybody does. But when we take our expectations and bring them to God, we can release people from doing that, and it frees our heart to love them. The next thing that you just can't mistake in the Bible is that Jesus had a small inner circle of friends. We see that with Peter, James, and John. And then we see with the disciples. Now, we definitely see that Jesus loved everybody that he came in contact with. And he ministered to thousands and thousands of people. But for his close personal friendships, he had a small inner circle. And I love that because I think that when we're talking about this crazy kind of love, if we say we need to do this for the entire world, we're going to get overwhelmed and quit. But if we decide to be this kind of way, in the book of Acts, with a small group of friends, then it makes it doable, right? And we can really pour into that small group of people that God has given us. And that is actually that. And this passage in Acts that I've been reading to you, that is the inspiration for the Treasured Ministries Nourish Together groups. I actually started these groups because I received so much love and support from church community after I walked through a really hard time that I wanted to be able to give that to others. And you know what I've found? That people are really looking. Women are looking for a place where they can be loved and accepted for who they are. And that providing that is so valuable. And so I want to encourage you today, one, to change your focus, and two, to realize that our thoughts create our actions, and our actions create the environment that we live in. And if you want to develop this authentic friendship, I want to encourage you to take a baby step out into community. And one of the ways I want to encourage you to do that, and even if you're, you know, in a place today and you're just thinking, well, I'm not ready to do that. Maybe I want to find out more about that. That's great. We've got you covered. I want you to go to the Treasured Ministries website and look under the Nourish Together tab and watch the video and consider taking our leading a Nourish Together group online academy. Now, inside of that class, we've got all the resources that you're going to need to help you get started creating a Nourish Together group. And I know what you're thinking, you know, I've never led a group, I've never done this. We want to walk with you through that process because here's what we believe. We believe that love is the most powerful force in the world. And that when women are walking together in fellowship with God and with one another, that's when we find strength to flourish. And this world is a dark place. There's sharks out there, right? But what if we were courageous enough to get off the beach and get in the water, right? And invite others to swim along with us. How would the world change? Nourish Together groups are women gathering together once a week to share a meal together, pray, and read the Bible. And I've been doing this now for 3 years. I started it 3 years ago, and it's been an amazing experience. And our vision at Treasured Ministries is literally that women all over the world would start small groups like this inside of their homes, sharing meals, reading the Bible, and diving into the Word together. And so as we close today, I want to challenge you to consider starting a Nourish Together group, going to the Treasure Ministries website, especially if you are lonely and you want to get back into the game. I want to challenge you today to be proactive and to know that to put ourselves out there and to be vulnerable means that our hearts are going to get broken because people will be people, but that we were not created to hide, that we were created to love. And as Christians, we were called to crazy love. And one group at a time, one day at a time, imagine how the world would change if we all loved the way that Jesus intended. I want to close today with a quote. Get this out from C.S. Lewis. It's one of my favorites. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not become broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. Thanks so much. Look forward to having you next time. And I just want to say that I appreciate you. I appreciate the feedback that you give me and just taking time out of your day to listen. And I hope that you'll help us to spread the word about the Treasure Ministries podcast by inviting a friend to listen in. Thanks again, everybody. Have a great day. Bye-bye.